Hello, everybody. This is David and Jeremy from I Don't Know. What Do You Want to Talk About? The podcast that likes to switch it up on you like a 1990s techno song. With me, as always. And then it goes. With me, as always, is my co-host, Jeremy. Jeremy, how's it going, buddy?
I need more synthesizer. That's what I need. I need more synthesizer.
I'm gonna sample. What if love, love, baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more. Okay, enough of that. That is utterly ridiculous.
That's Jeremy. Nice, buddy. That's nice. Yes,
Jeremy,
yes,
do you care to explain to our audience why we're switching it up?
Well, yeah, sure. We are switching it up. I sent you a text, a day or two ago, and said, look, I've kind of mentally gone through my week in review topics, and I've come up with almost fuck all. So I thought maybe we could throw in an extra news story for the peoples and maybe bring back a game. So we'll do that. So we'll do an extra story apiece and put in some just plain wrongs at the end of this bitch.
Ooh. Ooh. So, just plain wrongs.
So let me jump into my shallow puddle of weekly happenings. Let's see. I worked on the greenhouse with the kids. It's going well. I'm going to do that later today after the podcast and tomorrow because Mother Nature has finally taken a mite all and I'm getting some good weather. That's great. I've been to Home Depot. Woohoo! I have kind of played it low key. I actually inquired about a job yesterday, David.
What?
I inquired about working at one of the local plant nurseries.
We drove
by on the way back from Home Depot. And it said hiring, and I went, well, why the hell not? I, honest to God, am going to spend money on filling this new garden full of plants, and I thought, why not?
Yeah.
Why the hell not? School here has been officially canceled for the year, so I've got no plans, I've got no money, I've got no job, so why not go get a job to have plants and the money?
All the things, David.
The wife finally got her rental car booked. She comes, she'll be home in 6 days. Six
cool
days. And as a matter of fact, I would like to maybe put it out there that can we skip a week, David?
No, Jeremy.
I haven't seen my wife in 2 months, and she will be getting in Friday evening, and quite frankly, I would like to be up until the wee hours of the morning having lots and lots of naked time. I'm not sure I will make it for a Saturday morning recording.
That's fine. I'll just get somebody else, Jeremy. I'll get somebody to fill in that week.
Oh, you're a turd face.
What? No, there's nothing wrong with that, Jeremy. There's nothing wrong with guest hosts. I'll get a guest host. It's fine.
You're gonna. You have my permission to get a guest host if you want to get a guest host.
I just think our audience deserves to hear from us. So we'll talk about it offline, Jeremy. We'll talk about it offline.
Maybe
the audience
push
doesn't need
day,
to
then.
See this ugliness.
What do you mean the ugly? I'm getting naked time, David. They are probably at home going, "Woohoo! You get it. Get it done."
Or, Jeremy, they're like me. They threw up a little there in their mouth when they thought about you having naked time. Nothing against Kelly. I'm sure she's lovely, but it's more you. It's the fact it's 100% you. All you. It's all you all the time.
Yeah, all right. That is totally an acceptable reaction.
Yeah.
Honest to God, other than that, yesterday... Bad influence number two and I went motherfuckering to Lowe's so I could help him grab some supplies for his house, and it turned into dinner at their house, so that was great. That's it. Honest to Christ, David, that's it. I've had nothing going on. Caught up with some people, watched some things, been showing the kids some old movies, Fly to the Navigator, Short Circuit... Blazing Saddles. Yeah.
Nice. I just watched Blazing Saddles this week.
Oh, my God.
I didn't show my kids, but...
Oh, well, my kids are older than yours.
Yeah.
And something else I'm not real proud of, David. we watched the live action Aladdin, and I was done within 10 minutes. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I didn't like it, but but it was fine. It was no worse than any other movie.
No,
in my opinion.
It was just fucking awful.
What did you not like about it?
I cringed at every new song. It just, the cartoon for me was so perfect. Nothing. I didn't like it. I don't like it, David. The kids made me watch it, and they were torturing me for making them watch Elmo's Potty Time last week. So, anyway.
Weird shit, Jeremy.
We do. That's it. Honest to God, that is my entire week in review. What do you got, buddy?
Well, so let's see. You know, I was a little salty when I got on the podcast with you today, and I didn't really know why. And then I realized I have spent an inordinate amount of time, more so than I normally do, with you this week. And that's part of the problem.
Oh, so, that's part of the solution.
So we recorded last Saturday. We recorded Long Distance Drinking.
Right.
Our extra podcast for our Patreon members who support us at the $5 or higher level.
Exclusive content.
Wink, nudge, nudge. Now, I do think at least one other person hears this podcast, maybe, because, you know, Bad Influence's spouse probably is in the room when Bad Influence plays it. So there may be two people who get to hear it, but that's a very small group that gets to hear that podcast. Anyhow, I digress. We recorded that Saturday night, and then Sunday, we recorded that Friday night, and then on Sunday morning, we recorded our standard I don't know what do you want to talk about podcast. I had to edit that motherfucker and get it out. And then the next day I had to edit the next motherfucker and get it out. So I've had to listen to your ramblings now for an extra day, which is fair enough. A lot, Jeremy.
Yeah, it is a lot. I don't even like listening to me ramble.
Oh, and I'm no prince among men either. So please don't feel I single you out. Maybe this podcast is not a great idea, Jeremy. Maybe
look, now I'm saying he tells me.
I'm just saying, if I find myself and you obnoxious, I can only imagine what people who don't know us think.
Well, having heard from the Bad Influence household after listening to their long distance drinking special, I believe she took all kinds of notes and had a nice little text back and forth with you. Is that right?
Yes.
So, they enjoyed it. They thoroughly enjoyed the extra. She said the parts where we were topless were the best.
Yeah, that's right, audience. You could get a podcast where two middle-aged men are topless. You could have all of that.
You can hear us be topless. $5
a month. That's right. You could hear us be topless. Although I did think your nipple rubbed against something at some point, and I heard that. Because you're like, oh, my nipple.
Well, yeah, my headphone cord, it was cold.
Oh, there you go.
It just kind of rock solided me on the left side. But anyway.
Ba-banga. Hello, nurse. So anyways, we did that. This week, I built a thing, Jeremy.
You built a thing?
I'm moving further and further down the road of nerd. So I told you I'm playing D&D, right?
Yeah. Moving further and further down the road of nerd.
Yes. Well, anyways. So I play this D&D online because unlike some people, I practice social distancing. I you know, want to stay healthy.
mm-hmm.
Psst, I'm talking about you.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
Yeah, okay. So anyhow, I throw my dice on the desk and then they fly all over the place. So there are these things called dice boxes. Do you know what those are, Jeremy?
Yes, I've seen those.
I made one.
Nice.
Yeah, so I had some extra little wood left over from building the sound dampening material. What?
I've got extra wood.
Oh. yes. Anyhow, I had extra wood left over from building the sound dampening materials for under our All Things Z desk that we're making.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used that to build a little dice box, and it turned out Nice, Jeremy. I'll send pictures to you. You can take a look at my handiwork.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that was fun. And then, you know, there's an interesting thing happening out here, Jeremy. So, you know, there's a couple of film projects that I'm involved in right now. So there's that cowboy miniseries, right?
Right.
That I'm cast
you
in.
You bad sheriff.
That's right. There is my project I'm directing, and then the
film noir.
Yeah, the film noir. And then there's this third thing that right before all this pandemic started, the director reached out to me and said, "Hey, I'd be interested in having you do this piece." And it's kind of a weird thing. It's a mostly improvised piece. I like doing improv, so I thought, yeah, that'll be interesting. So anyhow, this week at some point, the director of the improvised piece reached out and said, "Hey, I'm ready to start filming. The federal government is lifting the restriction on people, so I'm ready to start filming. I can completely understand that if you don't want to go out, that's fine, but I'll recast your role."
Oh,
he sent it out to everyone in the cast. And it was sort of Facebook crickets, you know, it was on Facebook Messenger, sort of crickets. Nobody responded right away. And then a little bit goes by and then he responds again with, "Well, actually, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to sound that way. It was more of a question than a demand. What do you guys think about starting filming?"
Backtrack the fuck right out of that,
right?
One, didn't
exactly. Because the entire cast is like, "Yeah, we're not interested." So, so one of the actors pipes up and was like, "Well, you know, I don't know. I don't really want to do it," basically. And then another actor who I know in the script says, you know, he's having some health issues right now, wrote the dude and was like, this is privately, was like, "Hey, I'm having some health issues right now. I don't know that being out in an area where technically we still are on lockdown and it's a misdemeanor to be out in public is a great thing for my health." And so this dude like flipped out. And was like, "The film's canceled. We're not doing the movie." And then like went on this tirade about how he doesn't want to work with people who don't care about the project and blah, blah, blah. It's pretty funny.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, "Hey, how about you calm the fuck down?"
No shit.
Like, number one, this is your project. So the person who needs to care the most about it is you.
Is you.
Right? Like, I kind of wrote him a message like, "Hey man, I get that, you know, I get that it's hard when you're working on a thing and you feel like you're the only one that cares about it. I am in the very similar boat. I'm like, you know, I do this YouTube thing and, you know, the people I work with are incredibly supporting and wonderful and they work very hard on this project, but they are not nearly as invested as I am. And so there are times where I'm like, I want another take," and they grumble a little bit, but they do it, and I get salty. I get a little butthurt because it's like, you know, don't you want this to be good? And then I have to remind myself, no, it's not that I don't want it to be good. They're just tired of having their arm in the air for two and a half hours, and they don't want to do this anymore because it's starting to not be fun for them. And so then I have to make that decision. But it was just like, you know, people are kind of losing their mind. And then there was another film where the same thing happened. There's this feature film that's being filmed out here, and they decided they wanted to start production. And kind of similar thing, the director's like, "Look, do this or I'm going to fire you," to one of the actors, and that caused a big stink. And so it's just kind of funny. Like, people are all fucking up in arms about, like, "I got to go out and live my life and do my things. And if you're not into that, you could go fuck yourself." It's just crazy to me, Jeremy.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you calm down?
On a bright note, though, David, I have just been inspired to give you your gay porn name, and it is Salty Butthurt.
Ooh, I do like Salty Butthurt.
Actually, David, there is one more of your film things that we haven't heard much of, and that is this filming the second half of your Dead Body in the Woods.
Well, everything's movie on hold right now, Jeremy.
I know. I just...
So...
But I'm glad that director hasn't been all like, "Hey, we need to do it right now."
Right? It's crazy. Like, I would love to be filming my film noir thing because I want to do it.
Yeah.
And I also get the understanding that maybe some people are feeling like, "God, if I wait too long to do this project, I'll lose inspiration for it." I get that.
Right.
But just calm the fuck down. Because technically, in the state of Oregon, it is a misdemeanor to be out doing things unnecessarily. in large groups. And if, I don't know about you, but being on a film set generally constitutes at least 10 to 15 people. It's a large group.
Right.
So everybody chill the fuck out is all I'm saying. And Jeremy, I mean, I've got other stuff I could talk about, but none of it's particularly interesting or engaging. So I think I'm going to call that my week in review. I went to work. I went to the store to buy some stuff. That's about it.
Yeah.
Made some maps. Made a dice box. We talked about that. It's good. Good. Life is good. I chatted with Amber a little bit. That was fun.
Nice. Nice. And without giving too much away from long distance drinking, were you invited to the compound,
David? I was.
Okay,
invited.
Good.
Now, I may have to leave my family behind. She did not clarify or specify that piece.
Well, that's probably entirely up to you, David. I mean, with having been with your family stuck at your house for so long, you might just want to leave them behind and say, yeah, they didn't make it.
Yeah. Oh, Jeremy, I do have a funny story for you, though.
Yes, real quick,
about my family. So, and then we'll get into the other thing. So, the rest of our podcast.
Yeah, the other thing, whatever.
So, this week, the school sent out a thing saying, hey, come get your kids' stuff from the schools. They abandoned ship on a Friday and expected to come, or they left on Friday expecting to come back Monday, and they didn't. So they didn't clean out lockers. None of that shit happened.
Right.
So once Governor Brown stated that we were closing down schools for the year, they were like, okay, come get your shit. So we drove to pick up my oldest daughter's stuff at middle school, and we were driving back from there, and we passed this. It's some kind of like church related thing. So it's a building. It's not like a church, but it's like a church run, you know, like home for people or something down on their luck folk or whatever. I don't know. Anyways, in the middle of this walkway that leads into this building, there is a cross, a little cross. And I'm driving along and there's this woman and she's kind of, you know, the come at me, bro thing.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
So she's standing behind the cross, kind of doing like a raven walk back and forth with the come at me pro pose to this cross.
Okay.
So we're both driving and neither of us are speaking at this moment. But like it's one of those things where both of us kind of turn and, you know, look at this woman and turn back and just keep driving. And my oldest daughter goes, huh. She goes, I think that woman was trying to show dominance over Jesus. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, it's kind of funny, but it just, at that moment where I was in my brain and in my life, it hit the chord just right, and I lost my shit. And laughed quite heartily. And then she kept reminding me about it throughout the course of the next few days. And I was like, do you want me to talk about this on the podcast?
No.
And she's like, well, no. She's like, but I mean, it was really funny. So if you want to talk about it on the podcast, you can talk about it on the podcast.
That's a yes.
So I did my fatherly duty. And
nice.
Talked about it on the podcast.
Come at me, bro, Jesus.
That's right. Come at me, bro, Jesus. All righty, Jeremy. So, with all that nonsense out of the way, we, you know, only cut 10 minutes, but that's probably enough time to get into...
News time. I don't know. All right, buddy. I'm going otherworldly. I'm tired of the bad news stories all around here. So, a 30-pound piece of the moon is up for sale.
What now?
A piece of the moon that's bigger than any of the rocks brought home by the Apollo astronauts is up for sale at the famed Christie's auction house. The lunar meteorite, known as NWA-12691, fell to the Earth in a meteor shower and was found 2 years ago in the Sahara Desert, according to a news release from Christie's. Now, David, the asking price is in the neighborhood of $2.5 million, Christie's
said. Wow.
It's a private sale instead of an auction, so anyone with the money can buy it immediately.
Wow.
The moon
so
rock,
they've got the buy it now feature at
right,
Christie's.
Right. Who knew? We're coming to a whole new... Why would you not put that up for auction?
I don't know.
The moon rock weighs in at just under 30 pounds and is the fifth largest piece of the moon on Earth, the statement said. Quote, there aren't even a handful of larger lunar meteorites. This is the fifth largest known. Nothing brought back by the Apollo missions is as large. James Hyslop. Hyslop. Yeah. Christie's head of science and natural history told CNN via email, it is really an incredible opportunity to acquire a world-class specimen from the moon. The rock, believe it or not, was probably knocked off the moon's surface by a collision with an asteroid or a comet. It then traveled the at least 239,000 miles through space before falling to the Earth in a fiery meteor shower. About 30 meteorites from that shower have been found in Northwest Africa, the statement said. Lunar meteorites are very rare, and Christie's said that only a total of 1,443 pounds of them. Why would you measure meteorites in pounds as a collective? I don't know.
I don't know. That's odd.
I thought it was odd. Quote, it is an order of magnitude larger than any other lunar meteorite we've sold, Hyslop said. All previous examples would have been able to fit in your hand, but this is over 10 times larger. Now, Apollo 16 astronauts brought home a specimen nicknamed Big Muley in 1972 that weighed almost 26 pounds. But David, for $2.5 million, you can have a huge chunk of the moon. End of story.
Wow.
Would you do it? If you had like Michael Jordan money, would you do it?
Hmm. You know, I don't know that I would.
You don't
I mean,
know?
Jeremy, if I had stupid money, I'd buy it and give it to you.
Oh, you wouldn't want a piece of the moon? Maybe we could like have it cut in like one of those friendship things that it's only complete when you put the two halves together.
Wow.
You remember those necklaces from the 80s?
No, Jeremy, I don't know that I would want that. I don't know that I would want the moon in my pocket, I guess, so to speak. I mean... Yeah. Well, it just doesn't seem like that's not money for me that I would want to spend for that.
No, but if you had stupid money.
Jeremy, look, there are many things out there that are within my budgetary, you know, purview, and I don't buy them.
Budgetor just sounded like the shittiest villain in the He-Man cartoons ever. It's Budgetor!
Get in here! I thought you said we had plenty of funds for the battering rams. I'm very sorry. Skeletor, I miscalculated. You miscalculated my rage!
Now you gotta call him You Boob.
You Boob!
Oh my god, that is gonna make so many people happy, you just don't even understand. Oh, I'm with you, buddy, because the other day I noticed that the Fanmeo thing had a one-on-one chat with John Cleese for $300, and I'm like, oh my god, I could do that, but it would be so stupid to spend $300 on that. But it's John Cleese.
You could plug the podcast, Jeremy.
Oh yes, because a 90-some-year-old British sarcastic man would like to hear all about our stupidity. Maybe
you could plug all things Z.
I could do it all: robots, the puppets.
Right.
We can do the podcast synergy and just write it off as a tax write-off.
Right. Exactly. 30 minutes of John Cleese's time, 28 of which was you plugging shit to John Cleese,
and then the other 2 minutes is just me doing the Chris Farley routine of hey, you remember when you were in Monty Python? That was awesome. That was awesome. You remember. You remember the Ministry of Funny Walks? That was awesome. Hey, can you say it's 'tis but a scratch? That's awesome.
Nice. Oh, Lord. Anyhow, Jeremy.
Right, buddy. What do you got for us?
I got a story that you gave me to read today.
I am a giver.
I had two stories, and this podcast, or this, you're having a hard time distinguishing your days and what happened during them. I'm having a hard time finding any kind of news that's worth talking about. So I was like, an extra news story? No! And then you graciously gave me an option. So I'm going to read this option. It's going to be my first story.
Good, good, good.
So here we go. Military soldier's fun idea of using a bike pump to blast air up his butt backfires after he gives himself the bends. Jeremy, did you read this story?
I didn't. I'm just giggling at how... I'm seeing a pattern with you, David.
You gave me the story, Jeremy.
I gave you Jeremy. Several stories.
Yeah, that was the last one that... Jeremy, that was the last one you gave me. So that was the
also
one
also involving
at.
Butt stuff, which Jeremy, I'm not kink-shaming, David. I'm just...
I think you are, number one. Number two, you gave me like 47 options at once, and I didn't know which ones you took. I just knew you said you didn't take the butt story, so I took that one. Don't fucking be that way. I'm going to read my story now, all right? And you shut okay. your whore mouth.
Wow. Yes, sir.
As the name suggests, a bike pump is used for bikes, not butts.
Really?
But it's true. But one gentleman experimented to see what would happen if you inserted a nozzle into his anus and pumped air into it. After finishing his ridiculous endeavor, he claimed to have given himself the bends, also known as decompression sickness, which is a disorder that occurs when high-pressure charges causes nitrogen bubbles to form in one circulatory and cause blockages in the tiny blood vessels. Jeremy, this is shoddy reporting at best, because as the story continues, it tells me that none of the last few statements are correct.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this is some bullshittery.
Did this news story come from the White House?
Probably. This act of stupidity is courtesy of Redditor Frank the Tank 107, who used the pump to blow air up his ass for no compelling reason other than to see if he could make an artificial fart. Allow the original post. This is the stupidest thing in this entire article. Because once they say original post, they in parentheses let me know that they're going to refer to this as the OP for the remainder of the story.
Oh,
good. To enlighten you with last week's incident, which he admitted to on TUFU. Today, I fucked up. I want to subscribe to that Reddit subreddit. That sounds awesome.
I kind of do, too. That's a great one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in the military, and if you are, too, then this might seem pretty tame compared to what else people get up to in the blocks. For those not in the military, let me tell you that the most of the stupid stuff that happens in the blocks stays in the blocks, except in this case, because I couldn't hide it. There's not much content that led up to this. We were all studying for our tests coming up, and I saw my bike pump lying around and got an idea. If I stuck it up my butt and pumped it, would I be able to make an artificial fart? He caved to peer pressure, but he was already raring to take the plunge. In the OP, God damn it, in a mood to procrastinate and do stupid shit, everybody stopped studying and dared me to do it. So I dropped my pants right there in the middle of the room and stuck it right up and started pumping to see what would happen. It took me a couple tries to do it properly, because believe it or not, I'd never done this before. Thank you, sir. But I was able to trap a good amount of air in my... he meant to spell colon, but he spelled cologne.
Oh, nice.
That I could even feel it in my stomach area. I could have sworn it looked like my belly expanded a bit. Newsflash, this is from the reporter. It was a most uncomfortable feeling. And then we go back to the OP, as they're calling it, Jeremy. Hmm. I was actually pretty worried at that point because it didn't feel good at all. Hard to describe, but it was kind of like a stomach ache and cramps at the same time. I couldn't get the air out. It kind of just stayed in there. After like 10 minutes, it only came out in tiny but very loud bursts. And I couldn't control it. For the next 2 hours, I was just farting uncontrollably, like I never farted before. The real fucked up part was that my CPO was coming for evening rounds, and we all had to stand at attention by our beds while he talked to us individually, like a checkup. As he's going around, I'm still farting very loudly, despite my best effort to hold it in. My chief asked me to stop and have some self-discipline, but I accidentally let out a huge run right after he said that. He thought I was trying to take the piss out of him and again let out another enormous fart as he's telling me off, and you can just see the veins popping out in his forehead. Back to the journalist. The entire class suffered, and it had nothing to do with inhaling the gas emissions. Back to the OP. I made an excuse that I was having a stomach ache and couldn't help it, but he wasn't buying it. Because of me, he made the entire class write a 500-word essay on Navy Corps values and having it on his deck the next morning. Somehow, no one hated me for it, though. They all thought it was a worthy price to pay for the entertainment they got to see me embarrassed, farting nonstop, even in front of our chief like that. And wow. And then it goes on. Basically, then someone in his group was like, dude, you could have gotten the Benz. And then the rest of the article is a bunch of people speculating on what would have happened had he done that. And none of them said he got the Benz. So, Jeremy, that's the story.
Right. I am not doing this challenge, David, no matter what you say.
Today on I Don't Know What You Want to Talk About, Jeremy shat himself uncontrollably for 7 hours as he had pumped too much air into his anus.
I'm with the rest of the class. I don't think I would be mad about a 500-word essay.
That's really not that long.
No, it would just, it's my... God, how funny it must have been for everyone else as he's getting yelled at and it's just like...
uncontrollable farts.
That's freaking hilarious. I am so glad you took up that story. Now, at one point, there was a TV show, I believe, called Lenny versus Spenny. And it was, I believe it was on Comedy Central. It was really stupid and they were trying to measure their farts. And... It was like an idiot.
I think I remember that contest show.
Yeah, idiot's contest show. Anyway, and he sticks a rubber tube in his butt and blows himself up, and then just walks around the house farting, to the amazement of the other guy who was trying to eat a whole bunch of chili and baked beans, unbeknownst to him. That the first devious man had put a whole bunch of Gas X powder in. And so the one man couldn't fart and the other one's just wandering around the house farting uncontrollably to win the contest. But I think that's the only episode of that whole stupid fucking show I watched.
That's a really funny concept. I would like to have seen that. Oh my God. All right, buddy, you got another story for me?
I do. I gotta stick with a little bit of the outer spaces because this world's fucked at the moment. But I'm kind of doing a long distance recall for one of our first stories.
Really?
The Pentagon officially releases UFO videos.
I saw this.
Do you remember talking about this like over a year ago? That like one of the videos or like an interview with one of the Navy pilots had like leaked out? Yes, buddy. Well, here's the story. The Pentagon has officially released videos that show what appear to be unidentified flying objects rapidly moving while recorded by infrared cameras. Two of the videos contain service members reacting in awe at how quickly the objects are moving. One voice speculates that it might be a drone, but it's probably a UFO. The Navy previously acknowledged the veracity of the videos in September of last year. They are officially releasing them now, quote, in order to clear up any misconceptions by the public on whether or not the footage that has been circulating was real or whether or not there is more to the videos, end quote, according to the Pentagon spokesperson. After a thorough review, the department has determined that the authorized release of these unclassified videos does not reveal any sensitive capabilities of our systems and does not impinge on any subsequent investigations of military airspace incursions by unidentified aerial phenomenon. The Navy now has formal guidelines for how its pilots can report when they believe they have seen a possible UFO. There's been a policy change, David. The Navy videos were first released between December 2017 and March 2018 by to the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, a company co-founded by former Blink-182 musician Tom DeLonge. Weird. But that institute says that it studies information about these unidentified aerial phenomena. So in 2017, one of the pilots, this is the story we did, who had seen the objects in 2004, told CNN that it moved in ways he couldn't explain. Quote, as I got close to it, it rapidly accelerated to the south and disappeared in less than 2 seconds. This was extremely abrupt, like a ping pong ball bouncing off a wall. It would hit and go the other way. The Pentagon has previously studied recordings of these aerial encounters with unknown objects as part of a since-shuttered classified program that was launched at the behest of former Senator Harry Reid of Nevada. Of course it would be the Senator of Nevada, right? The program was launched in 2007, ended in 2012, and according to the Pentagon, because they assessed that there were higher priorities that needed funding. But nevertheless, the former head of this classified program in 2017 said that he personally believes, quote, there is very compelling evidence that we may not be alone, end quote. These aircraft are displaying characteristics that are not currently within the U.S. inventory, nor in any foreign inventory that we are aware of, end quote. He said of those objects after they were researched. He says he resigned from the Defense Department in 2017 in protest over the secrecy surrounding this. And after the Pentagon finally released these, Reid tweeted out Monday that he was glad that the Pentagon officially released the videos. It only scratches the surface of the research and the materials available. The U.S. needs to take serious scientific look at any potential national security implications. End quote. David, it's still active. They're still out there. And more people are coming forward. And the Pentagon is giving us little nuggets.
Jeremy,
it's awesome.
Jeremy, so I am not a conspiracy theorist. Now, I realize I say that enough. That means I probably am a conspiracy theorist. But, Jeremy.
Saying you're not a conspiracy theorist is a conspiracy.
Don't you find it's interesting, Jeremy, that this information just decides to become declassified right in the middle of a giant fucking pandemic where our president looks like a shining asshole?
Right.
Like, no, seriously, I'm like, not within a week of him being like, inject yourself with Clorox. The fucking Navy comes out and's like, aliens are real.
Oh, yeah.
And Jeremy, also, how fucking wild is it that in 2020, the government just basically announces they believe there are UFOs, and it is barely a fucking blip on the radar of crazy shit that's going on.
Right? See, I thought this was going to like be the seeds of a larger story where the government was going to say, see, this is why we needed Space Force. You know?
Right?
This is exciting, David. Like, there's like people going... Yeah, it is probably the case that we're not alone. This is awesome. Maybe Corona came from the aliens.
Maybe.
Maybe we do.
How exciting.
Maybe we do need Space Force.
Maybe we do. What do you think Space Force is going to be like? Do you think it's going to be like Star Wars?
I hope so. I mean, I got to have hope, right? A new hope.
Jeremy! Oh, sir, I am proud of you.
Thank you.
I am so proud of you right now. I feel like we've...
I am joining you down the long road of towards more nerdery.
And it was fast, Jeremy, too. That's what I appreciated. It was like you didn't even skip a beat.
Well, you know, I'm taking a
page out of... It was like you planned it, Jeremy. Look, everybody, that joke right there is at least you following us on Patreon for, at the $5 level for 1 month. That right there. That's a $5 pun.
$5 joke right there. Thank you.
I'll you got be that here for all free, folks.
All right. First one's That's free. Delightful. Second one you got to pay for.
Right?
All right, buddy. What else you got for us?
This news story, I found it, and it sort of was shocking to me. I don't know why, but it just seemed shocking. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Henry Winkler has been been honest to God feuding with Tom Hanks for 30 years.
So, wait, say that again?
Henry Winkler has been honest to God feuding with Tom Hanks for 30 years.
No way!
Way, dude. Earlier this week, Bill Simmons mentioned on his podcast that Henry Winkler and Tom Hanks, two of the nicest people in Hollywood, have been locked in a 30-year feud. I know it sounds ridiculous, so we didn't believe it either. Yet, after we dug into the subject, it turns out that these two legendary actors are locked hopelessly in a blood feud that stretches back decades.
What?
Well, it's not really blood feud, but okay, yeah. The feud doesn't quite go back as far as Hanks' run on Bosom Buddies or Winkler's dominant Days on Happy Days, but still, 30 years is a long time for two guys who get along with everyone else to decide that they can't stand each other. So what happened? Well, on a recent episode of Watch What Happens Live, a caller brought everyone's attention back to an issue that really matters. The woman asked about a rumor that Barry actor and Hanks not loving each other on the 1989 set of Turner and Hooch. Well, the avid fisherman seemed taken aback at, I guess they're referring to Henry Winkler, aback at first and pretended to not understand the question. However, the ruse couldn't last for long, and he admitted that there was indeed a beef and Winkler lost his job as a result.
I was going to say, what? I'm sitting here thinking, I don't remember Henry Winkler in a Turner and Hooch.
That's the exact same thing I was thinking as I was reading this. Okay. What did you say? Winkler first tried to divert before setting aside pretense. He then admitted, I was directing the movie for 13 days, and then I was called into producer Jeff Katzenberg's office, and he said, you have everything with you? Go home. While not exactly articulating that he indeed isn't a fan of Hanks, Winkler did admit that he was crazy about one actor on the set, the crime-solving canine that aided Hanks' policeman's character. I got along great with that dog, he raved. Loved that dog. We still don't know why the guys hate each other, but it's real. Way back in 1993, Winkler alluded to the beef while speaking with People. Let's just say I got along better with Hooch than I did with Turner. Your move, Hanks.
David, I don't know which parent I want to live with in this divorce.
Right?
What?
I know.
Wow.
It's crazy. Two of the nicest people in the world hate each other. And, Jeremy, it sounds like Tom Hanks got Henry Winkler fired.
I love Henry Winkler.
I do too.
I want him to be my grandpa.
Tom Hanks, your other grandpa got him fired.
That's so weird. I'm somehow rootly upset. I just to my core somehow.
Me too.
We need to find out why. I need this to be healed. I cannot let either of these go to their deathbed without making amends somehow. How do we do this, David? How do we get them on a project where they...
Should we invite them onto our podcast? Here's what we'll do, Jeremy.
Yeah.
We'll each of us will respectively send an invite to one of them to come onto our podcast. Our podcast has international recognition, so they'll clearly say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're number 250 out of the top 300 Canadian podcasts.
In comedy, yep.
Right. So we've got to measure for something, right? So anyways, I'll invite one, you invite the other, and then when we get them on, we'll pretend to be like, oh, I didn't know Tom Hanks was going to be on. I didn't know Henry Winkler was coming on. All right, guys, what happened?
We're going to parent trap him? Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, which one do you want to contact?
Well, you seem to have a real love for Henry, so you can go with him.
Yay, I wanted Henry.
And I'll go after Tom.
Okay. Yep.
All right, it's settled. We're gonna fix this feud.
Yes.
America's grandpas must be loved.
Yes. This is my goal now. I am going to spend my quarantine hounding Henry Winkler to make amends with Tom Hanks, just to have something good happen in the world.
Right. We need this. That could be our whole angle. We bring him on. Look, guys, We know you had this longtime feud. We're sorry to bring you here, but we need something to heal the earth right now.
Yes.
And you two talking through this needs to happen.
Man, I cannot even put into words how this story has shaken me.
Jeremy, newsflash. Jeremy, So I have two screens on my computer, and the second one has Facebook on it. And I just popped it open. And guess who was looking at me in the face?
Who?
Tom Hanks.
Oh!
I shit you not, my old college professor had a post. Guess who spoke to our department graduates this morning? So Tom Hanks is like the patron saint of my college. He loves our film program. He loves our acting program. And he comes to our school fairly frequently. So, Jeremy, I may even have a way to get a hold of Mr. Hanks.
Wow.
This is fortuitous, Jeremy.
I know.
It's not planned. I just opened it and there was Joe with his, guess who was talking to our kids this morning? It's Tom Hanks in a shirt and a tie looking very professional.
Now see, I'm having this little bit of palpitation at the moment, David, because one of the reasons I did not go for the $300 John Cleese FaceTime meet and greet is because they always say, don't meet your heroes. What if both of them are like giant assholes?
Then, Jeremy, we've done the world a service and exposed them for their assholery.
I mean, because this, Jeremy, has happened to Ellen recently. Like, she's villain now.
Yeah, I know. But, Jeremy, we can heal the wounds. A 30-year-old feud, Jeremy.
Heal the world.
That's right. Make it a better place. Something and something, the entire human race.
For me and the entire human race.
There are people dying. Something or another, I don't know. Make a little space. Jeremy,
what?
We need to come together. The aliens are coming to take over the planet. We have to come together as a the world. This can be the thing that does it.
And we need
uniting
the Winkler
and the Hanks.
The Hanks-Winkler feud
must come to a close.
Oh, my God.
So we as the human race can come together and defeat the alien overlords that are soon to come upon us.
Yes.
In our weakened state because of the coronavirus. Jeremy, this is all making sense now. Look, the aliens introduced the coronavirus to weaken us, to separate us, to bring division between us. And then they're going to come in and take over. But, Jeremy, we can thwart them if we bring Hanks and Winkler together.
Oh my God, we need to write this movie, David. We need to write this movie. We need to change the name slightly, but then demand that both of them play those roles. Oh my God. Yes, it needs to be like, you know, Tim Hawks and Hank Wrangler or something. Just they get in a fight 30 years ago on a movie set, and the only way to... let's write this bitch.
All right.
I have to put that aside, David. I have to put that aside for my last story. All right, buddy. So we need these things for our new movie. Scientists create glowing plants using mushroom genes. Fans of the Avatar movie will have long dreamed of lush jungles teeming with glowing plants, but fluorescent foliage may no longer be the stuff of science fiction, as scientists have found a way to grow glow-in-the-dark plants, which radiate and maintain a mysterious green gleam for their whole life cycle. Bioluminescence, the emission of light by an organism, occurs in a wide variety of animals and microorganisms, including some mushrooms, insects, fish, yada, yada, yada. Some of the most famous examples are the, you know, firefly butts and, the crashing electric blue waves from the bacteria in the ocean. But after discovering that bioluminescence found in some mushrooms was metabolically similar to some plants, scientists were able to transfer DNA sequences into tobacco plants, giving them to give off a bright green glow. Researchers found that this glow lasted for the entirety of the plant's life cycle, from seedling to maturity. Quote, we show that you can transfer 4 genes from these glowing mushrooms into the plants and wire them into plant metabolisms so that the plants start to glow in the dark. End quote. One of the lead authors of the study, published in the Nature Biotechnology and Monday on Monday, and they told CNN. Unlike other luminescent technologies, the team's recent discovery would allow plants to glow in the dark without the use of external chemicals. It just does it on its own. The technology could be used for a variety of purposes, including the creation of decorative glowing plants, which, of course, is what I want.
Right.
Light radiating from the plants could also be used to study their inner workings, because they glow from inside. Researchers noticed flickering patterns and waves of light in the organisms, revealing that plant behavior, you know, that we can't normally see, because they're glowing from the fucking side.
Right.
quote, we tend to overlook plants. We tend not to appreciate how complex or how alive they are. They send a lot of different signals. They integrate and make a lot of developmental decisions, and we don't really appreciate them in this capacity. Also, quote, making them glow somehow builds a new relationship with the plants, and you can appreciate how much easier, or you can appreciate much easier how they how much they are alive, he added. So it's a long goddamn scientific story. They have done other plants, including petunias, roses, and periwinkles. They're starting to adapt to see if they can get the same responses. But David, would you put a glow-in-the-dark plant in your house?
I probably would, yeah.
I fucking would, too.
That's pretty awesome.
I mean, I don't. You're going to have Michael Jordan money for a while, but imagine probably planting them outside and just having, like, landscaping plants out there. Yes!
Yeah.
Yes, no, I think cool, this is man. Awesome. See, I've had to dive into the science realm for my, distraction during this pandemic, because I'm putting all of my faith and hope in science, and I recently have been finding all of the scientific stories absolutely fucking fascinating.
So no, that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little scary. They're fucking with the genes of plants and shit, and then this is how you end up with, you know, those man-eating vines from the Ruins movie. But
I was going to go with Little Shops of Horror, but that was too.
Oh, how did I not go with a Feed Missy Ma?
I know.
I didn't even go there. I was just man-eating vines from Mayan ruins.
But that's scary, too.
Yeah.
You know,
but I mean, if they would have sung to me, it'd have been all right.
Yeah. I would like you to sing to me as you eat me.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
No, that's good.
All right, buddy. What do you got for us?
Jeremy, they start them young in Florida.
What?
Florida seventh grader sends 41 to the hospital when he mistakes pepper spray for body spray.
God damn it, Axe.
Right? I mean, that's essentially what Axe is anyways. All right. A Florida boy sent at least 40 of his classmates to the hospital when he mistook a pepper spray for body fragrance spray and sprayed himself with it at school. A student at Highlands Middle School in Jacksonville, Florida, caused the school's gymnasium to be evacuated after dispensing the spray last week, according to a Friday report in the Gainesville Sun. The boy had taken the pepper spray from the belongings of another student before deciding to help himself to a generous spritz. Thinking it was body spray, the student who took the canister actually sprayed himself as if he were applying a body fragrance product, Principal Evan Daniels said to the parents in a pre-recorded phone message, according to the outlet. The gymnasium was evacuated, and ultimately 41 students were transported to area hospitals for care. School faculty brought students outside to a football field after the pepper spray was released. About half of the students' presence ended up needing medical attention. The students were all treated and released from the hospital on the day of the incident. Although the authorities said all the students suffered only very minor injuries, the incident was traumatic for at least some of them involved. This is a quote. Everybody started running out of the gym, and then that's when I came outside. Everybody was coughing, praying, seventh grader William Cosby told WTLV.
Somebody threw up. Is that Bill that's Cosby? Right. That's nice.
Oh, my God. It is,
Jerry. Had the pudding pops.
Oh, my God. That is Bill Cosby. That's hilarious.
And you know, he probably, I go by Bill. And they're like, no, we got to use William.
Yeah, no, you know. I go by William now. Thank you.
That's right. Somebody threw up. It looked like the blood. It looked like blood, but somebody threw up. I just called mom and told her what happened, and she handled the situation. What did she do? I don't understand what that means.
Goddamn called Karen.
Yeah, right? It felt like a burning feeling in my chest and my throat. It felt like I was barely able to breathe, added Cosby, and I was barely able to talk. The principal noted in the call that while pepper spray is not illegal, it is prohibited by the rules of the school district. Schools officials plan to discipline the student who brought the spray to class. The student will face appropriate disciplinary consequences for bringing a prohibited item on campus, said Daniels. An investigation also resulted in the consequences for the boy who snatched the canister. While this was obviously a major disruption, the investigation revealed that there was no intention to disrupt school, and therefore there is no basis for more serious charges, Daniel says. The student who took the pepper spray was issued a juvenile civil citation. The school district is also said to have tightened up security measures in response to the incident. Newsweek reached out to Duval County Public Schools for comment, but did not receive a response in time for publication. So, Jeremy, here's what I find upsetting. The kid who had the pepper spray, who was not doing anything with it, is in trouble because it is a prohibitive item in the school. But the kid who stole it from that other student and then doused himself with it is not in trouble.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, I get that the first dude is in trouble. I mean, but yeah.
I don't.
You don't really, because I mean, no. if you brought, I'm gonna go extreme, but if you brought a handgun, it is prohibitive, and you
there's
put it.
A
in
difference.
Your, hold on.
No, that's not a fair comparison.
You have it in your bag, and you chuck your bag on your desk, and it misfires and grazes another child in the arm. Well, you would be in trouble for bringing it because it's prohibited.
Well, okay, there's a couple of things, though, with your argument. Number one, pepper spray doesn't was not naturally designed to murder things. It was designed to fend attackers off. So while I understand that this person, it was a protective item, it's a protective item. And I understand you can say, well, a gun's a protective item, as you have clearly just stated. But yes, but a gun was designed for one thing, and that one thing is to murder things.
Well,
whereas pepper spray was designed
to protect you from intruders, just like pepper spray. I mean, by murdering them, yes. I mean, don't get me wrong.
But see, that's what I'm saying is that the argument you're using is not a fair comparison. If you wanted to say like, I don't know, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. It, you know, my kids, my oldest we are in the process of having the discussion about whether to get her pepper spray or not. Because there are times where she goes places and we need her to be safe and protected. And is having it at school a good idea? No. But I think while I would be okay with the student who brought it getting in trouble, if the student who stupidly shot it around the classroom got in trouble too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he totally needs, yeah. Totally.
Apparently, this child was illiterate. Because every can of pepper spray I have ever read clearly says pepper spray.
Right. I mean, unless it was like one of those keychain ones that has the leather holder for your keychain, and then it, you know, you don't get to read the can.
There you go.
But I don't know.
But Jeremy, do you know of any Bat Axe body spray canisters that are keychain connected?
Well, I mean, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention. Seventh graders are stinky. I'm just saying. Don't forget Jack's body spray.
Oh, Lord.
Funny story, David. Just yesterday, I realized that I must have gotten distracted putting on my own deodorant and only applied it to one armpit. So halfway through Lowe's yesterday, I'm like, I wonder if bad influence number two didn't put on deodorant today. And I'm like, no, it doesn't smell that bad. Maybe it's somebody here in the store. But then it was like, I was smelling one half of myself, David. I would have used Axe on a keychain at that point.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Days don't mean anything, and I'm easily distracted. But like a seventh grader, apparently.
Right? Apparently.
All right, buddy.
Well, Jeremy. Yes, Jeremy, there's something I think that's about to happen that hasn't happened in quite some time.
I know, she'll be home Friday.
I wonder who my new co-host is going to be. I mean, our substitute co-host.
You're a dick. All right, buddy, it's time for...
Should I do a special intro? I've got the kazoo here. Just plain wrong.
All right, for those of you new to the game, this is 25 questions I will be giving to David in rapid succession. He has but one job, and that is to answer them as wrong as he possibly can. Now, he has 3 minutes to do 25 questions, and the time will start after I complete the first question. Buddy, are you ready?
I think so.
You always get a little tough trouble.
Jeremy, I won the last one. And so now I've got to try to defend that honor, but I haven't done this in a long time. So my skills are not as sharp.
Okay. You're a little rusty, are you?
Yeah. So I got to, okay. I'm ready if you are.
Okay.
One second, let me yawn.
I'm sorry. Am I keeping you up?
Yes. No, you're getting me up. It's very early.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, wait a minute. All right, buddy. If you are done flexing the mental stretches, we are a go.
Okay.
Here we go. Please spell the word dildo.
D-A-V-I-D.
What is the purpose of a dune buggy?
It is to put your buggies in.
What causes explosive diarrhea?
Jeremy's face.
Oh, what is the first lesson in teaching someone how to ride a horse?
It is to teach them how to murder.
What is a quality you look for when purchasing underwear?
The ability to hold a very small penis.
Mm. What image would make the best face tattoo?
That picture of the Scream, you know?
Oh, gotcha. Name a movie most likely to make you cry uncontrollably.
That would be Ishtar.
At what restaurant chain do you never regret eating at?
Arby's.
Besides an annoying sock-based puppet, what is a lamb chop?
It is a thing that you grow on the side of your face for hair.
What smell would most likely make you fear for your life?
Shia LaBeouf's personal fragrance.
What does the term spank bank mean?
That is a bank where you keep all of your spanks, Jeremy, as it says in the title.
Complete this 1988 Billy Ocean song lyric. Get out of my dreams and into...
my uterus.
Name the best animal species to hire as a medieval court jester.
That would be a panda.
Mm. What are the main parts of a balanced breakfast?
That would be the booze, the crack, and the hookers.
Mm. What word would be the best word to describe childbirth?
Fun, super fun.
Complete this movie title. Big Trouble in Little...
Ballsack.
What was the most useful invention of all time?
That would be the machine that waves your farts away from you.
What is the opposite of stubbing your toe?
The opposite of stubbing your toe? It's stubbing your toe, actually, I guess.
Okay. Name a quality needed to become a successful prostitute.
That would be a really, really, really long braided nose hairs.
Mm. What was Walt Disney's first job?
He was a porn director.
First thing you do after you shit your pants.
I like to do a little run around the neighborhood to make sure it gets in there good and deep.
Name a must-have song for your Surviving the Apocalypse soundtrack.
All by Myself.
What is Queen Elizabeth's favorite porn genre?
That would be the double vag, double anal.
Mm. What does the slang term on fleek refer to?
Oh, that's referring to when you jizz on someone.
What was your favorite breakfast cereal as a child?
That would be shredded wheat.
Shredded wheat, and with 7 seconds to go.
I'm shadow boxing right now in case you couldn't tell.
Nice shadow boxing. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yes. You did very well, buddy. I was a little worried about halfway through. I guess you could tell that I was speeding through reading the questions.
There were a couple, Jeremy, that had multiple uhs attached to them. I remember feeling like, he's setting the deck on this.
I always am rooting for your success,
because you
David,
went,
in everything you do.
That's one of the ones you did that, Jeremy. You go back and listen to it. Anyways, was I answering slowly to start with?
You were pausing. Oh, well, that would be the... every time we do that, we usually lose.
Yeah, I had that. Well, I've done this for how long, Jeremy?
I know, right?
Yeah, but we got through it.
Right, right.
Like champions.
Right, I had no idea Queen Elizabeth was into DVDA.
She totally is, right? Jeremy. That's her jam.
For the favorite breakfast cereal, we would have also have accepted Grape Nuts.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that I've ever actually eaten Grape Nuts.
Oh, dear God. It's like just chewing on someone else's fillings.
That's gross.
Walt Disney was a porn director. That's nice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is very nice. We would have also accepted, and I thought you were going to go here, Big Trouble in Little Vagina.
That would have worked. I mean, yes, you know.
Big Trouble in Little Vagina.
Yeah. Did you like how I implied that I had a big penis?
By saying you had a little ball sack? What?
No, Jeremy. In the what do you look for when
purchasing
underpants?
Yes.
I said the ability.
That one was a thinker, David.
I know.
That one made
I know.
Me think. Yes.
I know. I go in for the deep cuts, Jeremy.
Yes. Get out of my dreams and into my uterus. That's
get out of my dreams. Boo, doo,
doo, doo. And into my uterus. And right. The spank bank is, of course, the small bank where you keep your spanks.
Right. When the missus is being naughty, I like to dig into my spank bank, Jeremy.
And what did Shia LaBeouf do to you that you are afraid of his smell?
So there's a YouTuber.
Was it the movie Holes?
Yeah. No, there's a YouTuber that he has a video, and it's ridiculous. I'll have to find it and send it to you. But he has this music video where he does this spoken word song about Shia LaBeouf attacking and killing people.
Oh.
And Shia LaBeouf. I don't know how to spell that man's name. That's certainly not. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's by Rob Cantor. I will forward you the URL to watch. It's funny. Anyways, my kids and I just watched it.
Oh, nice.
And so
David,
that was in my head.
David,
yes.
I just realized we forgot to do something after you won.
What? Oh, look at that. Look at that.
I busted out belly.
That is good. Belly. Nice.
Anyway, well, look, buddy, yeah. We are at our end of our time. As a matter of fact, I think we stopped recording by force in about a minute and 30 seconds. So would you like to tell everybody where they can find us?
You can find us at all your local hangouts, Facebook, Instagram. You can also find us anywhere where podcasts are available. I would recommend using the location you are currently listening it to. That would be a good one. And finally, if you'd like to join us on Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/IDon'tKnowWhatDoYouWantToTalkAbout, where you can help us use the resources necessary to continue to make these goofy, goofy podcasts. Thank you all so much for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And Jeremy, you have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You do too, buddy. And a special thanks out there for Amber Bad Influence number one for being our biggest Patreon donor yet.
That's right. Thank you, Amber.
In theory accurate. It's totally accurate at the moment.
Yes, 100%.
100%. All right, buddy. You tell the family. We all say hi and what's up. Miss you. And I will talk to you soon.
Will do. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey everybody, this is David reminding you to check out all of our episodes on iTunes and connect with us on Instagram and Facebook. You can see all kinds of tomfoolery throughout the week. Thanks and have a good one. Bye.